Get ready to ignite your real estate business with the Launch Your Farm podcast. Our episodes are packed with inspiration, success stories, and expert strategies that will help you dominate your geographic farm. So tune in and enjoy.
As long as I'm better than I was yesterday, today, then I'm winning. And the second is my worst day is still somebody's best day.
Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Your Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Guillermo Serafin. He is a business consultant and strategist with a lot of experience under his belt. So Guillermo, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Hey there. First of all, thanks a lot for having me. And my thing in life has always been that anything is possible if you're willing to work hard enough for it. And, you know, farming, regardless what industry or business you're doing it, there's so much potential behind it. And it's really, if it's implemented correctly, it's the foundation of all businesses, right? It really more fundamentals that I had to create. I was asked to do a talk back in 2019 and somebody told me, like, you know, you've got like 20, 30 minutes, just tell them something that they can take away that will make an impact on their business. And for the most part, usually I'm long-winded because I just... So I'm like, damn, 20, 30 minutes. What can I figure out? So then I was like, well, this is what I do. And I brought it down to four principles, which is positioning, presence, proximity, and possibility. And these are the things that you have to work on for any brand or any marketing effort, that you want to have success with. And they correlate back to me as my individual. I was born with congenital glaucoma. I lost my vision when I was 16. I had about 27 eye surgeries between the seven. Grew up in the hood, in the 80s and the project housing in, LA. My dad died when I was 2 years old and, mom didn't speak English. Like any strike you could think against me, I've been able to come and, go from being counted out to having, my family, my kids count on me. So, and I looked at like, how did I do that? How did I go about, besides just drive and having, an amazing mother that made me who I am today, like there's actually things that I did. And positioning was the first thing, which is like, I always try to make sure that everybody knew, like I was the guy, like I was the one that you could reach out to, and presence meaning like I always showed up, like even if it, cost me money, I lost money, like I always put myself where I needed to be. And, proximity is just like, how close to it was I ready, how I talked to people, like, were they ready to buy whatever I was selling? It's like I talked to them one way. If they didn't even know they needed what I was selling, I had to create a different message for them. And then the possibility, like everybody, whatever you're trying to sell somebody, whatever you're trying to communicate to anybody, I mean, even your kids do it, right? Well, they sell you on the possibility. So those are the four things that I learned throughout in life and business that if you really hone in on and master how to use them can make the biggest difference.
Yeah, I think those are super key. And I want to dive into those individually and dissect them. But let's take us back to you getting into this business. Because again, as I mentioned, you wear a lot of hats in this and you've got a number of different companies and stuff. So talk to us about how you got into real estate specifically and kind of how that transpired.
Ironically, real estate was not on my radar. being blind, it's an 80% unemployment rate for people who are visually impaired. So I've been self-employed since I was 17. I knew nobody was going to hire me. So I spent first 10 years from 16 to 26, 27 in the music industry. And then I also, when I left that, once I had kids and I was like, man, this isn't the life to raise kids in. Then I went to massage school and then massage school. I did that for a few years and I started having trouble with my hands because of carpal tunnel, because I was doing 14 massages a day, half hour deep therapy because I worked for a chiropractic office. So it took a toll, on my hands. And at that point I was like, okay, what am I going to do next? And all of a sudden the house that I was renting was being put up for sale, and it was my cousin who was selling it. And it was, and he asked me, he's like, "Hey, I'll give you the first right to buy it if you want to buy it," because it used to be my grandma's house. And I was like, back then I didn't know nothing about real estate. I was like, you know, I don't have perfect credit. I don't have 20% down. All these myths that aren't necessarily true. And I was talking to one of my patients, and her son was a broker. And she's like, "Well, go talk to my son. You know, he helps people out." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't even call it." But I ended up having the meeting. He helped me out. He used to teach a loan officer and realtor class, you know, Realtor 101, and said that was his way of giving back to a business that gave so much to him. And he told me during the process of helping me buy the house, was like, "Hey, you know, you didn't ask questions a million times. You understood everything. Have you ever thought about getting into real estate?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Well, I'm starting another round of my, you know, free classes. Why don't you come on by and check it out?" And that was history. But, you know, I took the classes, and within the first 30 days, I was already doing my first refinance.
Wow, that's awesome. And you mentioned the adversity you've had to overcome. I think that's a big part of it, because a lot of people I find will hold themselves back and say, "Well, I can't do this because, and you hear all the reasons why people can't. Like you said, out of almost every single adversity you've had to overcome, what drove you to push through that when you could easily just say, "Hey, you know what, I'm not going to do this"?
You know, my mom, I mean, she never let me believe that I was handicapped. She never let me feel bad for myself. She never let me take a moment and like feel sorry for myself. And you know, I always joke, like when I was growing up, you know, if I was getting, my mom told me, "If you're going to get in a fight and you lose, then I'm gonna whoop your butt when you get home." So, like, you know, loss is not an option.
Right.
You know, one of my kids was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 5 years old. And again, that taught me how to, you know, pour into my kid and like, "Hey, even though this is limiting you and you have these challenges, obviously, because I have challenges, I had the advantage of being firsthand to show them that, you know, you can still live a normal life. You can still be successful." And, you know, just recently he got promoted, and at 26 years old, he's running his own veterinary clinic. So like, you just have to believe. I mean, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to tell yourself that it has to happen. It's not that it's a choice. It's not about walking in faith. That's part of it. But you have to believe, like, in your heart that this is going to happen. You know, there's the first motivational speaker that I ever got to hear and pay attention to was Les Brown. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of years ago live. He's great.
But I heard him back, I think it was like 2007. And he like, when I was done listening to that speech in person, I was ready to walk through a wall. That's the way I describe it. You know, like, to hear him, and because his story, you know, was about poverty, was about, you know, a disadvantaged, you know, situation, like, I can relate to it. And, you know, he said, like, you know, you got to be hungry, you know, just the way he emphasized it. Like, he's, you know, he's funny, but he's very impactful. And, you know, the joke that he tells is like, the quickest way to get back on your feet is to miss a couple car payments.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that, you know, just that knowing that it has to happen, and knowing that, you know what, as much as we want it, nobody's going to come and save us. Nobody's going to make it better for you. I don't care if you have an amazing family that's supportive. They can give you all the money in the world. But if you still have something in you that's broken, you're going to run through all that money. You're going to run through all that opportunity and still be broken. We have to face our own stuff. Jack Canfield in the Success Principle says that, you know, 99% is, you know, a pain. He uses a different word, but 100%. So if you can be 100% about being committed to your goals, then you don't have nothing to worry about. Like, if you don't have a choice in the morning when you get up and you tell yourself, like, "Hey, you know, I don't have a choice to work out this morning. Am I perfect?" No, we all fail, and I'm still working. And you just got to remember that nobody's perfect. And my saying to myself, and I tell everybody, there's two of them that I always tell everybody, is one is, as long as I'm better than I was yesterday, today, then I'm winning. And the second is, my worst day is still somebody's best day.
Yeah, that's great advice. So I want to shift gears then and dive into then how you shaped and shifted those four P's that you created. Because obviously it's through your experience. You didn't just pull them out of thin air. You came up with them. How did you decide to create that that perspective on that and walk us through kind of what that looks like for you?
So being that I came from where I came from and I am who I am, you know, I walk into a room, especially when I was younger, you know, and there was already preconceived notions about who I am, right? Either I was either a thug or I was somebody who, you know, who was handicapped. So there was always, so I had to, for everybody that I met, I had to position myself in a way that they thought of me different. And I never really thought about it, like I said, until 2019, till somebody told me like, hey, you got to come up with some kind of like how you do this. I need the secret sauce, right? Yeah. And I had to, and that's where positioning came from, was like, you know, I came from a place that part of the first challenge you had to walk through was being able to dispel all the assumptions that people had about you.
Yeah, that's big. And I, part of one of the things I teach in my core principles of farming is CPR, and it's positioning, which is this the P of the CPR. It's community positioning and relationships. And you have to learn to position yourself so that people do see you and see you the way you want to be seen, and also seeing you as that professional and as an ambassador for the community. So obviously there's some similarities in there. So for you, the positioning, how does it look as far as shaping yourself or positioning yourself correctly?
So for me, positioning yourself correctly is depending on what the situation, and you have to adjust your positioning for the situation, the opportunity, the challenge, the campaign, everything is different, right? But like you said, I have multiple businesses. I'm a real estate broker. I'm an insurance broker. I'm a mortgage broker. I just got my tax preparer certification license, whatever they call it, you know, and I do business consulting, real estate investor, like you name it. I got all these things, but in different circles, I'm positioned as a different person. And I do that by first understanding who I'm talking to. You know, everybody says like, okay, you got to find your ideal avatar, right? It's a marketing term, which just means like, who's the best person that you can serve at the highest level, that I look at it. But before you even can go there, you got to understand who you are, because you can, everybody has like, oh, well, especially in real estate, right? Everybody's like, oh, I want to work luxury. But do you come across as luxury? And it doesn't mean that you have to own, you know, Chanel and Versace and all these things and drive, you know, Aston Martin. What it means is, do you carry yourself in a way that will emanate luxury and that people in the luxury market will connect with? I'll give you an example of that is I had a client who came to me through a Boomtown lead. It was just back in the day when we used to use Boomtown, like many, many years ago. Yeah. And his wife was looking online. And yeah, I reached out, did my cold, you know, responded to the lead. And she's like, oh, you know, we're going to be in Hollywood and we want to check out a property, a couple properties. Can you show them to us? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I met him, you know, we walked through this is the first time I meet this person. And we walked through this open house. He knows the agent holding the open house, says hi to him, says, oh yeah, tell so-and-so we said hi. We come back out, we talk, you know, we make an offer. And, you know, we ended up getting him under contract and stuff like that. And I asked him later on, because we ended up becoming really good friends. I did a few transactions with him, and he was somebody who was a very influential person in the music industry, right? And I asked him, how'd you pick me? And he's like, you know, it's because you didn't try to kiss up to me. Mm. He's like, everybody else, like anybody else, like if you were a friend, you treated me like an equal. You didn't show up trying to impress me. You weren't asking me about everything that I do in a way that it was like kind of a fanish fan type thing. He's like, you just talk to me normal. And he's like, that's a rarity for people like me. As soon as they find out who I am, what I do, what I know, and all these things, like they change their way on how they behave. So you have to position yourself first before you can actually, like, you can pick whatever ideal avatar you want to work with, but unless you're the person that they want to work with, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. And that's the, and then it's understanding, like you said, lining up the positioning to match the people you're trying to reach, and then building the systems and the brand and the your whole experience around that makes a big difference. So the next P then is what?
And that's being where they are, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you get into like, okay, and we'll just continue with luxury because that's just, you know, an easy one, right? So are you at the charity events? Like people are going to think, well, like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go hang out at the fancy spots or whatever. I'm going to go eat dinner. And that's great. You can go hang out at the nightclubs. You can go eat at the restaurants. You can go play golf. But the thing that's going to matter is if you understand who your avatar is, then you know what's important to them. So a lot of people who are very well off, they make it a purpose because they've gotten to that point to be charitable. So you might have to be in that food line giving out meals on Thanksgiving because the person next to you might be a CEO of some multi-billion dollar company. And that's where, if they see you doing that, that's why they're going to connect. Not because you sent them some glossy, high-end, you know, flyer, or they saw your name on a golf cart, on a scorecard in a golf tournament. So you have to know what's important to them. And then you just got to show up everywhere as many different ways as you can. And now with digital marketing, it's so easy to do what's called an omnipresent strategy, where you're online, offline, it all blends together, and you know, all the different channels, and then understanding, you know, what each of those channels is meant for.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's one of the things I talk about, why it's so important to be doing a variety of things. And I teach a thing called scope method, and it's self-promotion, community, online, offline, prospecting, and education. And in order to reach as many people and to connect with people on as many channels as possible, you need to make sure you're kind of checking all of those boxes. And that's very similar. It's like, you got to be where the people are. You have to connect with them the way that they want to connect. And you have to show up in different places in order to get the most out of it. If you're just doing just postcards, you're only going to resonate with so many people, and not everyone's going to want to see that. So you have to be where they are and be doing things that they appreciate. And that's why community involvement is such a big part of geographic farming. And I think that most agents miss out on, they're just promoting themselves and not connecting with the people in the community. And I think there's an opportunity there for a lot of agents to do that.
Yeah. And I would say also, you know, masterminds, business groups, like get out of your real estate circle and look at running a business, go join other business owners.
Exactly. That's a huge, like it's one of the biggest things I tell agents is to go connect with small businesses, because they're the backbone of the community. They're the ones who have databases of people. They have customers who live in the areas you're serving. And if you can work together, I talk about doing business interviews and talking about doing partnerships and co-marketing together, because they've got people that are already work or that are coming to them, and you can work together to help them and just grow huge or grow your database in a quick way.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So then, and the next P is?
Proximity. So proximity, you know, it's a couple of different things, but the biggest thing that I can tell people and the way I share it is that everybody's at a different stage of readiness. And if you're trying to give a generic message to everybody that you're targeting, then you're going to fail, because somebody who doesn't even know that they need a real estate agent doesn't want to hear that you're the number one real estate agent. They need to be educated on certain things. So like, say, you know, what if you started with a campaign of, now that it's the summer, right? 10 tips on making sure your AC is the most efficient during summertime to reduce your AC bill, right? You send that out, you create a funnel for that. And people are going to go like, okay, well, why? What, that's too generic. That's not real estate. Yeah, but you're going to get 95% of the people that are going to fill it out are going to be homeowners. Mm. They're the ones that are going to care, you know, or how to fix your, how to make sure that your solar panels are performing the way they should be, the 10 signs that maybe you need to get them serviced or whatever. You know, I don't even know much about solar panels, so like, if that's even a thing, but that could be a thing. Like, call out things that you know that homeowners care about, right? You know, here's another one. And again, it's not going to tell you that they're necessarily, you know, homeowners, but it's going to get you in the luxury market, right? Like 10 top places to get the best custom auto detailing that will come to your office. Hmm. Like all these things, you gotta stop thinking real estate. So that's the people that don't even know they're gonna need an agent. Then you start building a relationship. And then there's people that are like, somebody just passed away, they have a property now, and now gonna sell, right? So that messaging is gonna be different, right? You're gonna be more direct, like get your, not just get your free custom value, like, you know, if you're talking about luxury, then you wanna change the wording, right? Like not what your home worth is, you know, it's something along the lines. No, you know, this isn't something we use, but I'm just rambling because, you know, copywriting is one of the things that I do. But, you know, just like, have you done your annual asset review? You know, something along those lines, speak in those terms on somebody who talks wealth, understands wealth.
Yeah. And I think too, like we just said, focusing on local businesses can help you create some of that content as well. And when you think outside of the general real estate world, there are countless opportunities. So if you're thinking about pool companies or dog walking companies or whatever's going on in and around the area, you can then partner with local businesses and create some giveaways, create some copy writing stuff. You could do some reports and guides, and those kind of things will then again help you dip into both worlds, where that you get to partner with the local businesses and you create content for your audience and stand out as not just the person who's saying I sell more homes than anyone else.
Exactly.
That's huge. And I think too is understanding, like you said, going back to the avatar, who is in the area that you're serving and what type of things are important to them will help you realize what types of stuff you can do. That's why I'm not a big believer in a one size fits all type of marketing campaign, because each area is going to have different things that are important. You may be in a new subdivision that's only 2 years old and maybe they don't have finished basements. So finished basements is something that's important. You may be in a historic area, or you may have something that's close to nature, and it's really understanding the area that you're focusing on, what kinds of things are going to be relevant and important to them. And it takes time to position yourself, like we said at the beginning, to understand that stuff so that you can then correctly service and market to the people that you're serving.
So like a good example about that is the one thing that I see most farming companies or most agents who do farming who miss, because nobody taught it to me. Like when I was, I've been licensed since January of 2005, started in 2004 because the broker I was with, or the company I was with, was a DLC, so we could do both without getting licensed or whatever. But if you're sending out just listed postcards, right? What do they tell you? You're just listed, blah, blah, blah. You technically should be sending out three different versions of your postcard. If you take the time for it, you need to send it to the owner occupieds. That's one message. To the investors, to their billing address for their tax roll, that's another message. And then to the renters of the homes of the investors, that's another message. If you're not sending three different postcards out when you're sending, you're just listed, you're just doing spray and pray marketing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, where most agents are too afraid to really narrow down and pigeonhole themselves. By the time this comes out, I'll have an episode that comes out. We talk about this with Beatty Carmichael about creating individualized and sub messages and sub marketing materials, because it's so important to get the right message in front of the right person. It'll drastically increase the chances of you getting conversions, and you'll have a better return versus some people just do it, like you said, a spray and pray, and just hope something sticks, and you're wasting time, you're wasting money, and you're wasting resources, and then you're not even getting close to the same return. So that's definitely a big part of it. But it does take work. It takes testing and it takes knowledge. And it, like you said, you have to plan ahead for that. It's not a just show up and hope, throw out something and hope it works.
Exactly.
Okay. And then the last P?
Last P is possibility. This is the easiest one on the face of it, but it's the hardest one. So possibility just means everybody wants to know what's possible, right? Everybody wants to know, like, okay, if they sign with you, what's going to happen? But the problem is that you can't just, again, spray and pray possibility all over them. You have to understand what's the possibility that matters to them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody's like, I can get your home sold for the highest price. There's some people who don't care about the price. What they care about is, can you get it sold without me having to do showings, without me having to fix anything? Can you get it sold without it being an inconvenience to my special needs child or my mother that I'm taking care of, that I can't be, you know, inconveniencing her for showings and things? Like, you've got to know what's important to them.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think that's, again, part of why it's important to switch up and change up your marketing messages as well, because certain people are going to respond to certain things and some people are not going to respond to other things. So it's having the right messages to get in front of the right people to kind of test to see what's working. Because like you said, it's not everything is the same, or what matters is not the same. And for some people, it's the speed of selling it. Some people, it's the price. Some people, it's there's other conditions, and you have to resonate with that. So what kind of tips or strategies do you suggest for agents to kind of flesh that out and get people to find out what their possibilities are?
So what I would say is figure out, you know, who's buying in your area, right? Like, is there a lot of cash sales, and are those cash sales showing up as rentals? Like, and then just really kind of market that way. Figure out, you know, is there a lot of nurses in the neighborhood? Is there, you know, a certain tech company or whatever it may be? Like, there's always a predominance of some industry or something. You know, yes, it's all mixture. And, you know, in marketing, you have to remember that you're speaking in generalizations and you are stereotyping. And yes, it's a bad word to stereotype, but when it comes to marketing, I don't care what anybody tells you, nobody's data is perfect. You know, there's always glitches in the data. So you have to get as general in some ways as possible, but then narrow that generality down into specificity. So even though that sounds like, what, you know, general and then be specific. Yeah. You have to the data that you collect, but specific on the messaging that you put to it.
Yeah. And I think too, in my experience has been that you have to be constantly watching what's happening in the areas that you're serving, because markets shift, timing shifts, price point shifts. For example, the area that we farmed when I was doing full-fledged farming, at the time in our area, it was about $500,000 for a home, which was relatively at about average sale price. We had a crazy 2017, 18, 19, and things just kind of like really took off. And then what happened was the prices went from like $500,000 for a detached home to like $800,000, $900,000 for a detached home. And then the people who were living in the area that we were serving couldn't afford those homes anymore. So then we started getting more people from outside, because we live about an hour outside of the city. So we're getting more people coming out from the city and spending more money. And then, so the shift was who was actually buying those homes. It wasn't locals buying them anymore, because they were cashing out, selling their home and moving further down the line. So you had to shift your message. You had to shift who you're reaching and how you're reaching them. And I think a lot of agents who have done farming in the past not all of them, but a number of agents I've seen kind of haven't rolled with the changes, and then kept doing what they were doing 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And you have to be watching for those changes. And even like, there's another example, there's an area in our city that was for the longest time had like, most people living there were like, had been there for like 50 years. They're like senior citizens living in these old bungalows that had been there. Everything's super dated. No one's done anything to it. And then people started coming in and spending money, tearing down the houses, building these mansions, and the demographics completely changed. But if you were trying to market to the senior citizens always, you have to be aware of the shifts that are happening. And I think that creates opportunity if you're willing, but it also can be a detriment if you're not willing to shift and adjust.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people don't pay attention to, like, say they get a listing, like they're only worried about like, oh, how can I show off the listing? Well, like, first, go and talk to your mortgage partner if you don't know mortgages, and figure out who can afford your property, you know, and then figure out what jobs are around there that of people are working at that can afford that kind of property.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to really, you know, I always say that the industry itself has done us all a disservice. And why I've been able to do so much in it is because I came in different. And the disservice that it's done is that we've all been told that we're salespeople. You know, nobody's told us from the beginning that, hey, you're a business owner. And they may hint at it, but if you look at all the coaching, all the training, for the most part, nobody's teaching full-on business. What are they teaching you? how to get leads, how to get sales, like everything that has to do with sales. That's just one aspect of a business.
Yeah.
And unless you think of yourself as a business owner, you're not going to make it as a business owner. And for me, it was different because I've been an entrepreneur since I was 17. I've run businesses in all kinds of different industries, successful. And I came in as a business owner, not as a salesperson.
Yeah. And then you see the opportunities that others don't, because you're looking at it from that business opportunity. Then you can see mistakes. You can see opportunities. You can see areas for improvement, versus if you just get in that old school, just be a salesperson, you don't see that. And again, I've coached countless agents who have only taken it from that sales perspective and don't see the marketing opportunities and the business opportunities and the growth opportunities, and leave a lot of business on the table because of that. And with a few tweaks, you can really shift what you do and how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that I was, the hack that I give everybody is go find the news every morning and look to see what is being talked about in relation to real estate. And I can guarantee you that you're going to find a topic that you can create funnels or strategies or marketing campaigns for buyers, sellers, and for agents if you're a broker trying to train agents.
Yeah, that's a great advice. And it creates opportunities that most people are going to skip over. And if you're willing to do that and be willing to act quick and take some risk, there's some huge advantages. Like, for example, there's a company here that was in our area that they had a big factory here and they shut down, and then they had another factory hours away. So I was telling agents, I'm like, if I was me, I'd be advertising, doing some ads to people who are working at those places and say, hey, do you work at this company? Are you getting transferred? Do you need help selling your home? Do you need help finding a home in this other area? Because you know, a lot of those people were probably just going to pack up and move to the other area because their job got transferred to that other area. So they're going to be kind of transient and need to move out that way. But you have to be watching for it and be jumping on it. Like you said, it's that timing is everything. And reading the news every day is a great opportunity, and that can keep you in the loop, but you got to put the time in.
Yeah. And I mean, if they want to be really creative and proactive, you take it one step further, reach out to agents that are actually listing homes out there and build relationships and say, hey, you know, I'm here from, you know, XYZ, and there's a factory that just shut down, so there's probably gonna be a lot of transfers. I'd love for you to, you know, put me on your list and any new things that you've got coming up. And then you can help promote their listings over here, and you can represent a buyer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's it's outside the box thinking, but I'm a huge believer in that, but you have to be willing to do that and be willing to take the risk. So when you look at the four P's, obviously it sounds like you laid it out intentionally in the kind of the order, the way they're supposed to happen. Do you find agents are doing those without even knowing them? Do you find some people like kind of dip their toe in one and not the other? How do you find that kind of rolls out in people's lives?
Everything. I think all of them, I think the first two get talked about the most, positioning and presence, right? And through all coaching, it's just how I use them and the depth of, you know, how we execute on them is different. The two that I don't see anybody really understanding at a great level is the proximity and the possibility. You know, those are the ones that have the most nuance to them. So I see people definitely trying to be, you know, become the trusted advisor, and they put these labels on it, but they're still missing the mark, because you have to go deep. You have to go more than just surface level. And with all the AI content that's out now, that you can create, you know, a 3,000 word blog, you know, within just hit a couple buttons and it's done. Like, it's more important now to be able to be as authentic, different, and original than anybody else.
Yeah. And again, a lot of agents aren't doing it, so there creates opportunity. And it does take work, and it does take some thought to really strategically lay this out and plan for it. But know that most agents aren't willing to put that time in. I alienate a lot of my audience by saying these kind of things, but it's like, a lot of agents aren't willing to put the time and put the work in. And if you're willing to just do a little bit more, a little bit differently, you can really gain market share, but you have to be willing to do things differently than every other agent's doing.
I mean, I'll give you an example. I used to, back during the downturn in 2008, the Great Recession, Depression, whatever they call it. I used to own a short third-party short sale negotiation company, and we used to negotiate short sales for agents all over the country. And I used to teach. I used to teach at different associations. I taught for title companies. I spoke on panels with Chase and WAMU when WAMU was in existence. Like, you know, I speak on panels and all those things. And I teach these classes and show agents how we were doing it. We had a 98% success rate when it came to submitting short sales, right? Wow. People used to tell me like, well, how do you do it? And I'd give them step-by-step how I do it. And I had a guy come up to me, a broker come up to me at one of my classes and say, you know, can I ask you something? I was like, yeah. And he's like, why are you teaching your competition? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, anybody can take this and go do it. I was like, yeah, you can, but you're not.
Exactly.
Nobody
is. Yeah.
To put in the energy, the work ethic that I have. So I'm not worried about it. I can show you exactly how I do things. I literally had a guy ask me, say, you know, I was meeting in his office. He had a couple short sales. He's like, hey, you know, I'd like to meet with you. So I talked to him. He's like, look, I'm going to be honest. He goes, I just want to know your secret sauce. And then I'm not going to use you anymore. So I can tell you right now what it is. Here's what it is. Have at it. Like, you know, he still ended up using this because he couldn't get it done. He couldn't do it. You know, you can tell somebody how it is to drive, but unless they've done it and unless they're willing to understand it, like, you know, if you can drive, if you have a driver's license, why can't you be a NASCAR driver?
Yeah.
Well, because
you're not too willing to do the things you need to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So I want to ask you then, you mentioned AI, because I think I had someone on recently discussing AI. How do you see the future of real estate and with the changes that are coming down with technology tying into this? Because you mentioned about being authentic. So where do you see things changing? Where do you see things staying the same over the next few years?
I think, and you know, here we go with people probably going to alienate us, right? Think that a lot of agents are going to put themselves out of business by leaning too far into AI. I think I always tell people that technology needs to be an enhancement to the experience, not the experience.
Yeah.
Or that the consumer understands that. And here's the thing is that at agents, sometimes we think that the consumer doesn't know what we're doing. Like, oh, it's this hack. Like, they don't know about ChatGPT. They don't. Like, it's out there everywhere. This is a barn door that got blown open that everybody's going to know about. And everybody's going to start questioning, am I talking to a bot? Am I talking to, you know, was this written by AI? Like, everybody's going to start being more discerning about the things, the interactions, the experience. So you've got to make sure that if you are using it, that you're finessing it so that it still has your own touch and tone, you know, but if you just use out the box, you're going to end up being in trouble. That's the first thing. The second thing is that legally, you know, it's still in the courts right now. Like, okay, do you have copyright? Can you use it? You know, the disclosures are kind of vague. You know, you start building the whole business behind off somebody else's tools. You know, it's a recipe for disaster. It's amazing. And it's huge, and I'm not bashing it. I just went to an AI summit in Las Vegas, right, where it was like mind blowing the things that we can do, and we're implementing a bunch of stuff, and we're using it. We use it in all of our businesses, but you got to know how to use it.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, like you said, being authentic and using it authentically, and knowing your audience, knowing who you're focusing on, knowing what's important to them, and tailoring it in an authentic way that resonates with them. And this is why, again, I think the future of real estate is geographic farming, because you can build relationships at a hyper local level that can't be replaced by super technology or some mega corporation in real estate coming in, because you have those relationships. So you can enhance the relationships that you have and enhance the things you're doing to build the relationships, but you still have to, at the end of the day, build relationships with people in the area. And that's what's going to pay the bills.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, we always wrap up with one last piece of advice. So what's one last piece of advice you'd give agents if they're thinking about putting these four P's in or anything else in their business?
The last piece of advice is more of a general business advice and life advice. I had the opportunity of being at a workshop or a training, whatever you want to call it, last week. And the owner of the company came in and spoke, and this is a billionaire who also owns a sports team. And all he talked about was relationships. All he talked about was, you know, doing the work. There wasn't some magical thing that he was talking about. He was just talking about the fundamentals. And the rest of the people that were there, his leadership that spoke during this event, this training, those 2 days, what I noticed is they all referred to him by first name. So you could tell that the relationship was tight. The people that he had on his leadership were people that he went to high school with, that, you know, he went to college with, that they've known him for, you know, 10, 12 years, like longevity in relationships. And then somebody said something, he's like, he's the first one here at 4 a.m. Like, he's got multiple private jets. He owns a sports team. He owns a huge company. Like, he doesn't need to be there. But if somebody in that position, at that caliber, is still grinding that hard, it shouldn't be a surprise why you're not winning if you're not winning.
Yeah.
Because if you got people who already got everything they could ever want grinding that hard, what kind of chance do the rest of us have if we don't double down and work 3 times as hard as them?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the grind. It's showing up. And that's I always ask the last piece of advice, and the most common one I get is put the time in, show up, and consistency. And there's no magic pill. It's just, doing it and doing it consistently and doing it over time. So that's huge. And so we always wrap up with the best book you'd recommend. So something that you think would have an impact in our viewers' lives or think would make a difference for them.
I'm an avid reader. And there's so many, but for agents to get their feet wet on how business needs to be run as a business is the book Traction, which is the partner to Rocket Fuel. So Traction is what I call the workbook of, it's like the workbook to business. Read that, understand it, learn it, go through it. I've read that thing 10 times and I'm still constantly going back to it.
That's good. Great. I haven't read it yet. I literally just bought it a couple of weeks ago. So I have it on my shelf that I'm going to go through it. So I needed the reminder to read it. So I need to check that out. That's awesome. I'm going to definitely have to go back to that. So Guillermo, I really appreciate you being on the show, sharing your insights and wisdom. How can our viewers check out more about you, what you're up to, and connect with you?
Well, you know, if anybody wants to chat, I'm always willing to, you know, give advice, you know, talk to you about what I'm doing. You can just, I'll give you guys my calendar link, and anybody who wants to schedule some time, you know, feel free. It's calendar.thesuccessboss.com. That's the best way to, you know, give me is calendar.thesuccessboss.com, or just find me on Facebook is where I spend most of my time, and just my name, you know, and yeah, that's it.
Awesome. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. You and I have been friends on Facebook for a long time, and you said you're always there to chat and answer questions if you need it. So it's always awesome to connect, and I'm glad to have you on the show and share your insights and your wisdom with our audience. And I know I always say if they just do a fraction of what you say, they will have the success. They just need to put the time in. So that's awesome for you sharing that, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.